One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Billboard on Broadway podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Milzoff, deputy features editor at Billboard and Broadway fan extraordinaire here. And I'm here with a special Tuesday Billboard on Broadway podcast episode, which I hope is very exciting to those of you who keep track of the days of the week, because yesterday there was a major Broadway event on TV that I felt it was very important to talk about, dissect, overanalyze, and that was NBC's A Very Wicked Halloween. It was ostensibly a Halloween-related special, but other than a lot of people being in costume, it seemed very Wicked-centric mostly. It was celebrating the 15th anniversary of Wicked opening on Broadway. There were a bunch of star performances. There were appearances by the two main stars from the original production, and I just needed to talk about it, so I hope you're here to listen. I'm excited to have two guests with me today. Keith Caulfield and Katie Atkinson are the hosts of Billboard's Pop Shop podcast, which I highly recommend you listen to. And they are two of the people I speak to the most about Broadway here at Billboard. So I'm really psyched to have them here being piped in from Los Angeles. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Ray, thank you for taking time out from your busy day to discuss the most important thing, which is Wicked.
Anything for Wicked and anything for Rebecca.
Well, so before we get into what happened on TV last night, I just thought it would be useful to give everyone a little context about Wicked. Those of you who've been listening to the podcast for a long time know that I did a episode with two of the recent stars of the show. But Wicked actually did, as of October 30th, it opened on Broadway exactly 15 years ago in 2008. Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel, who played Glinda and Elphaba, they had both kind of come off of big breakout Broadway roles when they started in the show. Kristen had won a Tony for Your Good Man, Charlie Brown. Idina had, of course, had her big moment in Rent. And their roles in Wicked are really what cemented them as Broadway stars. And now, I believe Wicked may be the sixth longest running show in Broadway history. And it's really interesting because the shows that run the longest on Broadway are not always the ones that are the best reviewed at first. I would say that the initial reviews of Wicked were kind of mixed to positive, but it's obviously a huge success and resonates with so many people and is, for I'm sure a lot of you, maybe was your introduction to Broadway. So it was exciting to see it get a really huge national audience last night. Keith and Katie, what was your introduction to Wicked? I think you've both seen it, right?
Yes. I was going to actually say, when you were saying that about, you know, it kind of got some maybe not incredibly glowing reviews. I don't think Wicked actually won the Tony Award for Best Musical that year. I'm pretty sure, wasn't it Avenue Q or something?
I believe you're right. Yeah. Idina won a Tony, but I think that was about
it. I remember there was like some weird campaign about... it was so weird. I'm like, how in the world did Wicked not win the Tony for Best Musical? And then something else won instead. And I'm like, but it's funny. Like, sometimes, like, shows, awards be damned. The show can continue to run on for years and years and continue to bring in millions of people. The first time I saw it was in Los Angeles. I don't know which tour it was, but it was certainly a little while after the show was on Broadway. But it was the first time I saw it, and I think it was the first time, I think I'd only seen like maybe one or two shows in LA, maybe three. I thought I saw Sunset Boulevard a million years ago, at a show, at a theater that doesn't exist anymore. And I also saw Hairspray, and then I saw Wicked, and I was blown away. I thought it was super enjoyable, so much so that like I got like a big Wicked book. It had a puffy cover where it was like sort of squishy. It was all about the making of the show. It was just, and like this, you just walk out of the show humming the songs. It was just fabulous and fun, and it was just a great twist on a story that, you know, we had known for years, but we didn't know the true story.
I also saw a tour, and I believe that it was like 9 years ago, so definitely, you know, long after it had debuted on Broadway, but a while back at this point. And I saw mine in Detroit, actually. I'm from Michigan and was home for Christmas, and my mother-in-law had tickets, and I rescued my father-in-law by going with her instead. And it was incredible. And at that point, I was really only familiar with the big kind of breakout songs from the show, so Defying Gravity and Popular. And that was my complete introduction to the whole thing, and was also just blown away by, you know, the vocal performances and the music in general. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Keith. That was very necessary. And now I don't have to do it later. Well, I have to say, it was like my secret Broadway fan shame for a long time that I didn't see Wicked for a really long time. I think I only saw it, I saw it on Broadway, but I saw it probably about 5 years ago for the first time. And oh, wow. I'm not sure why I held off for so long, other than I think I had the same reaction to it that I often do for movies that are super, super hyped and that I know are super popular. I'm just like, do I really have to go? And I think I got like a discount somewhere, and I went with my mom, and by intermission, I was like crying. And I remember I was like in line for the bathroom at intermission, and I was kind of sniffling a little bit, and there was a teen girl in front of me who looked at me and goes, "I've seen it 3 times. I know how you feel." It was a very classic Wicked moment. But I agree that it's like you see what the big deal is after you see it. I think the stagecraft, in addition to the music, is really mind-blowing. The huge dragon that's like on top of the stage. It's kind of everything that you want a Broadway musical to be in terms of, as you said, Keith, songs that you walk out singing, a real spectacle. It really brings all those elements together.
Yeah.
So last night, exciting moment number one was, of course, that Kristen and Adina were the hosts and that we got to hear both of them sing their 3 big numbers from the show. What were your perceptions, Keith and Katie?
I was just going to say, like, I didn't know how much they were going to be involved in it and was super pleasantly surprised, and also glad that they did their signature numbers themselves, because obviously there were guests and people sang a lot of different songs, but I think anybody in that room and anybody watching at home might have been disappointed to see somebody else take on Defying Gravity or Popular, just because they're such, like, songs that belong to those women. So that was spectacular for me.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought they did a fine job hosting the show. I thought Kristen...
They're so charming.
Well, I mean, Kristen is just, you know, a ball of joy. And
that's the best way to put it.
By the way, friend of the podcast, she's been on the Pop Shop podcast before.
Yes. Come to Billboard on Broadway,
lovely.
Kristen.
Well, I didn't mean to shade you. you can come share the wealth. Kristen, just come back. But she was just so lovely, and you can tell that she was really emotional about sort of commemorating the 15th anniversary of Wicked, and how, you know, I'm sure Wicked changed the course of her and Adina's careers forevermore. Mm-hmm. And they continue to go on to have incredible success afterwards. But I think people could probably argue that Wicked just changed everything for them.
Yeah.
And for them to come back and have this moment together and, you know, celebrate that, you know, clearly I think that meant something a lot, you know, it meant a lot to them.
And all the little touches and Popular from Kristen, like, you know, taking a selfie and, you know, going down into the pit, and all that was just adorable.
Yeah.
Did you,
I was going to say, from anyone else, that would have been a little too extra. But with her, it's just like, how can you not love her?
Oh, she can get away with anything because she's just so sweet.
Did you want us to analyze? That's not a word. go over like their performances yet, or just, you know, what we thought of them like hosting the show?
Well, what did you think of their performances? Because I thought that they both vocally sounded fantastic, and I will go down a spiral with that. But I'm curious what you two think.
Oh, I thought Popular was probably my favorite. I'm not going to spoil it, but I thought Kristen's performance of Popular was just amazing and so good and so, like, sort of fitting for the character, you know, where she was having selfies with the crowd and she, you know, stage dove by, you know, a hunky Fiero, with a hunky Fiero hoisting her in the air.
Popular. You're gonna be popular. I'll teach you the proper poise when you talk to boys. Little ways to flirt and frown. Oh, I'll show you what shoes to wear, how to fix that hair. Everything that really counts to be popular. Pink, I'll help you be popular.
It was just perfect. And I thought Adina, I think her arrangement of Defying Gravity may have started a little bit different, and I'm not an expert in Defying Gravity, but I was like, oh, this arrangement sounds a little bit different. Maybe she stepped it down a notch because, you know, obviously it's been 15 years, but then she still sang the big note. And when I was watching that, it made me think, you know, she has now two songs that are very much like a Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You moment, mm-hmm. where it's this iconic moment. She has both Defying Gravity with the ah and Let It Go. She has these two songs that are just like big, belty, iconic, trademark Idina Menzel songs that she will never escape from, which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, most people don't get one, and she has two.
And she has two. And then I don't want to dive in too much into their finale song because I feel like maybe Rebecca might want to talk more at length about that in another portion, but that was also a showstopper when they did For Good.
Mm.
I will interject for a moment about Adina, because I believe that arrangement of Defying Gravity is what she does in her solo shows now. When she's singing with an orchestra, I'm sure it's also a way for her to kind of refresh it and make it not just exactly what people are expecting to hear. And I don't know if she stepped it down at all. It wasn't obvious to me if she did. But I was, when you mentioned both Let It Go and this, I have sort of an unnatural concern for Idina's voice because
I know, yeah,
I just feel like her life is belting for the rafters, and I'm just very concerned about her vocal cords. I'm sure this is very useful to her. But it was, I thought she sounded so unstrained, and it really just sounded so smooth, and I think it's one of the best performances of it I've heard from her live, for sure, last night.
I totally agree. I know she's had a couple other opportunities to have huge, like, you know, vocal moments at, you know, awards shows, etc., and I thought her voice, and it sounded completely just unforced, the whole thing, and to know how difficult that song is to sing, that's quite the achievement.
If I'm flying solo, at least I'm flying free. To those who ground me, take a message back from me. Tell them I'll obey and defying gravity. I'm flying high, defying.
I would also say about, you know, it was obvious that Kristen was getting really emotional on air, and particularly during For Good, which, I mean, I'm incapable of listening to it without crying also. So, Kristen, I feel you. A few years back, I went to this sort of random benefit concert that was sort of a tribute to Stephen Schwartz, and Stephen Schwartz himself was there. Everybody, Stephen Schwartz is a composer of Wicked. If you didn't know, he also composed Godspell, among other musicals, and he's definitely one of the trailblazers in terms of bringing a kind of pop music sound to Broadway. And at this particular concert, he played piano, and he performed as Elphaba while Kristen did Glinda, and they did For Good together. And she got super emotional then too. And I think, Keith, as you said, I think it's really, she genuinely really credits this show with changing her life. And It's just nice to see that kind of raw emotion from her. It is really a real thing.
And I don't know if we're talking about the finale yet, but I am just going to say that it was cool, the sort of double meaning of For Good, seeing all the pairs of, yeah, you know, Elphaba and Glinda singing together, because they're clearly talking about each other as actresses and as people,
mm-hmm,
you know, in addition to the characters.
I have to say, after when I went on my little Twitter dive after the seeing it last night, a really cool thing that I would recommend people look up is the two actresses who have been on the podcast who are playing Elsa and... Anna and Elsa. Anna and Elsa in Frozen.
Oh, we're talking about Frozen.
Right,
I was like, wait.
Okay.
Wrong one.
different princess-esque characters. Casey Levy and Patty Murin, who actually, Patty was a Glinda on Broadway and Casey was an Elphaba, and they perform For Good together, and as sort of a tribute to Idina and Kristen, and it's beautiful and really touching, and you can find it on Frozen's Twitter. I'm giving Frozen's Twitter some free publicity.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now there were... I really thought, first of all, that the show was really... it was a really tight show. I didn't feel like it was overdone. I felt like they hit the major songs that they needed to. And I really thought it was kind of the perfect length and just done really well in general. So I'm curious to hear from you guys. What were your favorite performances that were not Kristen and Idina last night?
Oh, that were not Kristen and Idina. Let's see.
You want me to start instead, or do you have one?
What, do you immediately have a favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I mean, I have notes.
Yes.
I mean, it was such a tight show that it's kind of hard to pick favorites. I mean, I really enjoyed the big Ariana moment, but for me, my favorite performance was Ledisi and Adam Lambert's duet, which was on As Long As You're Mine. It was a really cool touch that, you know, Adam was in the touring production and the LA cast of Wicked before he was on American Idol. And so it's a really cool full circle moment that now he's this rock star front man of Queen, you know, superstar in his own right, that he got to revisit and do kind of, you know, a main song like that. And I thought their voices were killer together, and their harmonies were just effortless. All together just was a really cool moment, and both of them, I thought, you know, killed it.
Yeah, looking at my notes. Oh, so go ahead, Rebecca.
I was gonna say, let's listen to that for a minute, because that was definitely one of my favorites too.
Say there's no future for us as a pair, and though I may know, I don't care, just for this moment.
Yeah, actually, I have notes, and I'm looking at my notes, and per my notes, I'm going to conclude that I think my favorite non-Idina, non-Kristen performance was Adam Lambert and Ledisi. Here's my notes. Not a whole lot, I think, because I was just loving it so much. I say, Ledisi could sing the phone book, and it would be fabulous.
True.
And I wrote in all caps, come on, Harmony! so... That's all you really need to know. And also, like Katie said, it's a great sort of moment for Adam Lambert, who was in the touring or LA production of Wicked. And
both,
then,
I think they said.
Yeah, and then, you know, did Idol afterwards. And then can come back to Wicked and will always have that sort of touchstone.
I remember his audition, like him saying that that's what he was doing, that he was in the, you know, touring company of Wicked, which is, you know, a better place to start than a lot of people are coming from when they come into audition for Idol. But still, like, you know, he wasn't a superstar until Idol.
Yeah, I thought that the two of them were really well matched. I thought that Adam kind of didn't go as vocally crazy as he could have. He curtailed the power a little bit. And simultaneously, she really rose to match him vocally. She has a gorgeous voice, and I would love to see her on Broadway for sure. And it also reminded me, I think As Long As You're Mine on its own, it could be a pop song on its own. It's a I see it as being a kind of like 90s, like, Peebo Bryson and Celine kind of kind of duet. It would totally work, and I think is such a great example of like Stephen Schwartz's feeling for melody. That was definitely one of my favorites as well. I have to ask, what did you guys think of the big much-awaited Ariana moment?
Well, here is my notes. And actually, Rebecca, can you explain to us, because I didn't quite understand the introduction to the song, where they were talking about how it was like a different twist to the track, or it was like a different version. Was this a different song than the one that we heard in the production of the show?
No, this song is in the production. As I understood it, there was originally a different song, but then it was rewritten, or this song was put in instead, specifically tailored to Idina's voice, which on listening to it, it touches on every one of her, you know, tricks. So I had actually never thought of that listening to it, but then hearing it this time, I was like, oh yeah, this is clearly written for Idina.
Got it. Yeah, I was confused by the intros to both Ariana and Pentatonix, which confused me. So thank you. So what I wrote for Ariana, I said, I was actually surprised that she was actually in the room, because I just assumed that she would have like pre-taped it at some other location and like sent it in, you know, via satellite or something. So I thought that was great to actually see her there on stage. I think people were hyperventilating in the audience because they were losing their minds seeing Ariana. And I mean, I don't know if they knew who was going to be there. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But I think that they were legitimately like, you know, having a moment. And, you know, the introduction with Ariana having been a 9-year-old coming backstage to meet Kristen, and there was a picture of Ari when she was like, you know, a toddler effectively. And then now, you know, and also, you know, Ariana eventually became a Broadway kid herself. Mm-hmm. You know, she was on Broadway, not in Wicked, but she was in another Broadway production. Just seeing her sort of being a Broadway kid sort of back in a Broadway element was really cool to see, I thought.
Totally. And I mean, obviously, she is one of the greatest vocalists currently on pop radio, just has an insane voice, and it really lent itself to this song specifically. And as you mentioned, you didn't expect her to be in the room, but she was like thrilled beyond belief to be involved in this. She actually Instagrammed like the day before, "I wouldn't miss it for the world, for the whole universe," and said it was her favorite musical of all time also. And, you know, it was clear that she loved it, and it was like something that she'd been probably singing in the shower for the last, you know, 15 years. So she finally got to put out in the world, and it was incredible.
Let's listen to Ariana for 1 minute.
It's all to do with a me.
I have to say, I was really impressed by everything about her performance. First of all, I thought she, as you said, Katie, she clearly looked overjoyed to be there. There was definitely a sort of theater kid giddiness in her presence. Like, she was not being a pop star in that moment. She was kind of clearly just a fan. And I thought that was really refreshing to see. I also have to say that hearing her do The Wizard and I reminded me, I think this is also kind of the low-key showstopper of the show. You know, Defying Gravity gets all of the attention, but it's, you know, it has really fast segments. There's a lot of words involved. There are, you know, different sections to it emotionally. It requires some acting. and it's definitely vocally all over the place. I think it's a real challenge of a song, and she definitely rose to it, and it was great to see her do it. It's another battle of my life besides caring about Idina's vocal cords that I I want people to remember that Ariana is a theater kid, and mm-hmm. that she was in the show 13 before long before her pop star days, and I've always been impressed by the fact that she maintains a relationship with the composer of that show, Jason Robert Brown, who is one of the most exciting kind of modern musical theater composers right now. And I really think that Broadway is a big part of her DNA as an artist. So seeing her on TV last night was a great kind of full circle moment, I think.
Can we start the campaign to get Ariana back on Broadway?
Yes. It feels like an inevitability, but it might also be one of those things where when the pop star train slows down, like, I don't know that she
will have
time, as Ariana Grande to go yet, but she will.
Yes, definitely. We can only pray and hope. So, I mean, we can return now to the finale. What did you think of seeing all of these women on stage together? For me, it was super powerful, and it was a reminder that I think one of the great things about Wicked is it's a major show with two major roles for two women, mm-hmm. and it's about friendship, and it's a little bit like Frozen in that way. And it was, I don't know, for me, it was really powerful to see them all together.
I totally agree, and I loved how they kind of paired them together, and they had the Elphabas wearing black and the Glindas wearing white, so you knew which was which, even when...
Oh my God, I didn't even notice that.
Oh, you didn't? So oblivious. No, I was like staring at them all, because like what was great was like some of the pairs, like the Elphaba was blonde in real life and the Glinda was brunette.
Yes, which,
like,
I love
and
that
so,
too.
So like you only knew from the dresses like who was who, for me at least, because I don't know who all of them are. But I just loved how they were all, I mean, it was almost like a love song between each like pair of them, and they were all just like staring lovingly into each other's arms, holding their hands, and they even caught Kristen giving a little wink to Dina at mm-hmm. one point during the song. It was just so sweet. And I also think, in addition to it being just a treat for any fan of the show, I can't imagine what a treat it was for all of them to get that call to return and honor this show that obviously meant so much to all of them. You know, I'm sure that was a great phone call for all of them to get. Did you have notes, Keith?
I did. I didn't know if Rebecca wanted me to go ahead.
No. I'm awaiting your notes. They were so dramatically delivered before.
Well, I actually had a question, and Rebecca, you very well may not have the answer. How were all of the Galindas and Elphabas from post Kristen and Idina in the, like, so all the people that were on stage with them, were they all of the ladies who had played Galinda and Elphaba on Broadway from Kristen and Idina forwards, or was someone missing, or do you have any stats on that?
I don't have stats. That was definitely not everyone, because there have been zillions of them on Broadway alone since Idina and Kristen. And I kind of assume that there must have been some people who have done tours as well in there. I think the reason that I missed the black and white outfit coordination is that I was focusing so hard on trying to identify some of the faces in there, because there are a lot of actors who have played Elphaba and Glinda and have gone on to become Broadway stars. I believe Megan Hilty, who you may know from Smash,
oh, yeah.
she was a Glinda at one point, and some other people.
And she was definitely not on stage. Yeah,
no, she wasn't. She's doing Little Shop of Horrors in Washington D.C. right now.
So, with that said, obviously the performance was, you know, fabulous, and it sounded amazing. And you know, of course, when you have all these women who have performed as Elphaba and Glinda, they're all going to sound amazing in a show-stopping song like For Good, because that's what you're paid to do when you're on Broadway in Wicked. So it's going to sound great. And then when they all sang together, it was just like, oh, Lord, it's like a choir, for Pete's sakes. Can you just like sing Christmas songs for me and I can have a Christmas album from you? My disappointment in this particular performance was that, because of the way it was staged and because of the limitations of the stage, you know, people were kind of piled up in couples behind other people, and And no one was ID'd on stage. Like, it was just like, and here's a lot of other women.
That might have been cool to have chyrons for all the women.
It would have been nice to have some chyrons to say, oh, this woman was on Broadway in 2001, and this was from the national tour in 2003, to kind of like give you some context. So me as someone who doesn't know tons about Wicked would have appreciated that. But at the same time, I get the general emotion of it and the heft of it, and I still thought it was a cool, really fine performance.
I totally agreed. I would have loved that too. There was the only person I recognized was standing kind of directly behind Idina and Kristen, and that was this girl Lily Cooper, who she was in the original cast of Spring Awakening, and went on to be an Elphaba on Broadway, I believe. So but it was a really nice way to close the show, and I think a good way to close this podcast too. So I'm going to say thank you to both of you for joining me. This was super fun.
Yes. Thank you so much for asking us. We'll do this anytime.
Yes.
Thank you. Because I knew you. Because I knew you. I have been
changed. So thank you, as always, for listening to another episode of Billboard on Broadway. If you're a fan of the podcast, which usually we publish on Fridays, as I said, this was sort of a special moment, please follow me on Twitter at Rebecca Milzoff, on Instagram at YaDownWithRMM. You can always use the hashtag Billboard on Broadway if you want to tweet about the podcast. And we are on many platforms, iTunes, Spotify, and beyond. Please, on iTunes, give us lots of nice stars and reviews. And we'll see you again next week. Blah, 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 blah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.